Lord's Supper once a month, specifically every first Sunday of the month. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance from Christ for us to remember Him, His life, His death, His resurrection, and His coming again. We practice open communion. That means the believers who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who are not members of this church just yet, are welcome to actively participate by receiving the bread and the cup. The bread represents the crucified body of Christ. So whenever we eat the bread, we believe that the Lord took and crucified all our sins with Christ. Sins in the past, sins at present, and sin in the future. The cup. The cup represents the shed blood of Christ on the cross. So whenever we drink the cup, we proclaim the shed blood of Jesus Christ wash away our sin. Our sins washed away by the blood of Christ. So we become perfect, we become flawless before God. Together, let's seriously reflect on the last dinner of Jesus Christ with his disciples before he was crucified in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 to 28. Let's read together. Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." How should we explain the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ to a child? How should we explain to ordinary listeners? Life is most precious, to us. Can you accept that? Your life is more precious than material things. Can you accept that? What do you think? What is the most precious to you? Your life. You may need, if you have many golds, silvers, but if you are dead, what's the point, right? You can't enjoy. And Christ sacrificed his precious life for us to have eternal life. And we trust that Christ truly cares, because he sacrificed the most precious, his most precious life to us. He cares for our practical needs. If he cares for us for eternal life, cares for our spiritual needs, he cares for our practical needs, even material needs. The cross reminds us that Jesus Christ endured the gruesome torture, painful crucifixion, for us to be saved from eternal hell. Of course, it is by faith that we believe that. It is by faith and not by logical reason that we believe that we will be saved from eternal hell. We trust that the Lord provides also for practical things for us to live a godly life as we wait for his return. Let's reflect on what King David testified in Psalm 65, verse 1 to 4. "Praise awaits you, our God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house and of your holy temple." By the grace of God, Through faith, we believe that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified, punished for our sake. Now, think about this. Ever since you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, had there been changes in your life? Had there been changes in your life? What changes in your life you may testify about? What practical change would you testify that your life had been transformed? King David depended upon the Lord. He acknowledged that God provided for his needs abundantly. So he personally sensed also forgiveness. Do you sense the forgiveness of God? Forgiveness of your transgressions. If that is the case, praise of God is instantaneous response to the transformational work of Christ. So whenever you remember that changes God had made in your life, you cannot help but praise God. Praising God should not be forced. We do not pretend praising God. It comes from deep inside us. When the Holy Spirit fills us with joy, we sing praises to God joyfully for the many great things he has done for us. How often do you praise God for his blessing? Do you praise God only on Sundays, Wednesdays, or every day? Pray, ask the Lord, Lord, help me praise you. Help me see the transformation you've done in my life and praise you. It's the Lord who prompts us to praise him. That's the most wonderful experience of Christianity, praising God. If you are not praising God, then you are not experiencing the best of your Christian life. Without gratitude, Christian life is just another religion. That's the difference. Don't force praising God. Instead, ask the Lord, Lord, help me praise you. Sincerely. The Lord has revealed in the scripture how we may receive his blessing. You want to receive blessing from God? The word of God teaches us the commandments that the Lord gave us. It includes blessing. How you may want to be blessed. Read it, obey it, and you would be blessed. But of course, obedience, again, is inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Again, reading the scripture is not forced. It is also inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It begins with God. It ends with God. Christ says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, Jesus Christ. The beginning of life, the end of life, the beginning of any activity focused on God, starts from God. If we obey the instruction of God, we receive his blessing. But because godly commands requires godly effort, we have to pray. Prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to inspire us, obey him practically and diligently. Not just one time. Diligence. Faithfully. That is, the term diligence is similar or synonymous to faithfulness. So if you have faith, you'll be faithful. If you are faith, you are diligent, obeying the Lord. So if you sense that there's no diligence yet in your life, then ask, Lord, increase my faith. I want to see faithfulness in me. I want to see diligence in me. Most of the commands of God are not specific. It does not say which practical step we would take. Most of it. There are some, but most of it. So, how do we interpret the Word of God? How do we know which practical step we would take? We need The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Christ, interprets for us. He helps us understand. Now, let's reflect what Jesus Christ declares in John 14, verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. How do you understand? How do you interpret when it says, teach you all things? Does it mean he will teach me how to understand the algebra in my class, calculus in my class, the physics that are hard to understand, the logics? Can the Holy Spirit teach me? What do you think? Ask the Lord for increase of faith. When it says all things, who gives wisdom to the teacher to teach you difficult subjects in college? God. Who gives wisdom for you to understand how to settle difficult relationship? It's God. When it says all things, it means all things. Simple, not complicated, but hard to understand, hard to internalize. And remind you everything that Christ has said. Of course, you need to read the Word of God so that you will hear clearly, you will understand clearly, so that there's something to be reminded. You cannot be reminded if you didn't hear, right? What did you say? I will remind you what I said. What did I say? You need to be reminded what you heard, right? So if you haven't heard it, you are not reminded of it if it is your first time. It means remind, meaning you heard. So what will the Holy Spirit reminds us? You need to read the Word of God. You need to listen to the Lord so that the Holy Spirit have something to remind you. Make no mistake. To practically interpret the Word of God according to His purposes for us personally, that's not very easy unless the Holy Spirit empowers us, unless the Holy Spirit inspires us in everything we need to learn. The Holy Spirit helps us. Ask for a stronger faith. Ask that you will hear when the Holy Spirit speaks. Some Israelites rebelled against God. Why? Because they cannot internalize, they just cannot conceptualize that obeying the Lord is blessing to them. They rebelled against God, and God punished the rebellious Israelites. He blessed the people of Israel who obeyed him. Seriously reflect and consider that reality. Let's read again. Our passage, verse 18, 19, and 20. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. Again, be reminded that God is jealous God. The term jealous is a holy word. But many times people don't like the term jealous. But it's a description of God. A description of God. When applied to human, it's not very good. But to apply to God, it's holy. Believers are required to worship God only. God decreed punishment for idolatry. So to prioritize anything ahead of God is idolatry. Anything that caused us to disregard the Lord is an idol. Anything that causes us to commit sin is an idol. Idols cannot change life. Idols have no power. Idols have no life. They cannot create anything. Food sacrifices to idols have no significance at all. So if idols cannot do anything, why does God hate anything we prioritize before Him when an idol cannot do anything? God wants us to be sensible and wise in our behavior, in our choices. It is sensible and wise to prioritize the Lord to help you understand more about His will. God, our Creator, give us life. God, our Creator, provides for our needs. In contrast, idols cannot give life. They have no power. So it is foolish to prioritize idols. So when someone prioritizes an idol, he is saying to himself, I am foolish. But the one who prioritizes God, he is declaring before God, I am wise and sensible. God wants us to be sensible and wise. Behavior practically proves transformational work of Christ in us. How do we behave? Our behavior at home, the church, in school, workplaces, it should reflect transformation in us. Prayerfully ask God, Lord, help me behave, help me choose practical things according to your preferences. I want my life, transform life, reflect that I truly prioritize you. Be aware that human instinct is not very pleasant to the Lord. Human instinct is not pleasant to the Lord because instinct of human is inclined to commit sin. Instinct of human is inclined to disobey the Lord, to disregard the Lord. So if we prioritize ourselves, we are saying we disregard the Lord. So if our behavior and choices are patterned to any ordinary person, if we follow what other people do in the neighborhood, how can others see the difference of being a Christian? Listen carefully. God hates anything that takes His sovereignty, the power and control in our life. That's not like that. If something is controlling us, God does not like that. And why does God want to control our life? Where is our freedom? When we follow our freedom, we follow our instinct. We follow our sinful nature. We commit sin. God is love. He wants us to experience His grace and love for us. This is why He wants to be sovereign over our lives. And we should diligently obey Him. By faith, we become obedient to the Lord, diligently, faithfully. So when we prioritize other things, does it imply that we insult, belittle, reject, and look down at the mighty power of the Lord, His grace and love for us when we prioritize other things? Certainly, it implies that we have not completely trusted Jesus Christ our Lord just yet. The biblical record, how the Lord punished the Israelites, it should serve as a warning that God has already decreed punishment for disobedience to Him. The Israelites were chosen, precious possession of the Lord. Yet the Lord did not hesitate to punish those who rebelled against him. How about Gentile Christians? Consistent obedience is what God requires. Consistent obedience, that's faithfulness. That's being diligent in our obedience. Not just one time obedience. Not just one time obedience. Those who entered the promised land, the Canaan, the Israelites who entered the promised land, they obeyed the Lord in the wilderness. They experienced that blessing. They were saved from being punished from those who rebelled against the Lord. They obeyed the Lord. But when they entered the promised land, they have to conquer every nation in the promised land. The first city that they have to conquer was Jericho. But before they conquered Jericho, they were warned. Joshua warned them. Let's read in chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. The city pertaining to Jericho and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble in it. All the silver and gold and other and the articles of bronze and irons are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. Now, before they entered the promised land, everything in the first city that they conquered belonged to the Lord. It's kind of like your first salary should belong to the Lord if you want to be blessed. And after that, everything they have conquered, everything that they have plundered, they took it for themselves. And the Lord blessed them all the more. Now, clearly the Israelites were warned. It says, keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own, your personal destruction, verse 18, by taking it. If they took that devoted things, they would bring destruction. What is destruction? Death. Destruction by taking of them. Your death. You bring about your death. When you take, you die. That's the meaning of it. Or you will also bring destruction, bring trouble. You bring trouble to Israel, the entire Israel, the camp of Israel, who entered the promised land when someone take devoted things. They were warned. Everything in Jericho was devoted to the Lord. They were warned. Keep away from devoted things by taking any of the devoted things. It brings trouble to the camp of Israel. But, see, before they entered Canaan, all of them obeyed the Lord in the wilderness. But at that moment, at that time, when they conquered Jericho, one Israelite soldier named Achan was tempted, disregarded the warning of destruction. After prayerfully investigated who ignored the warning, Achan was found guilty and he admitted his mistake in Joshua chapter 7, verse 20 to 21. Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent, with a silver underneath." Achan was punished for his sin, including his family, livestock, everything he owns, were burned and covered with stone. Why? He disregarded the warning that would bring destruction if they covet, if they took devoted things. Achan took devoted things and he brought trouble to the camp of Israel also. How? When the Israelites tried to conquer the next city, the small city of Ai, they failed. The Israelites were defeated by the soldiers of Ai. Actually, 36 Israelites soldiers died because of that sin of Achan. Now, one time I was watching, it's a video promotion for a movie where armed men guarding slaves searching for diamonds. And one person was tempted. The rule was, if you find diamond, give it to the soldiers. Give it to the armed men. But one thought that he saw a very small diamond. I can swallow this. He tried to swallow it, maybe hide it in his mouth. But one soldier was watching, and he saw that man. Give that diamond. Remove the diamond from his mouth, give it to the soldier. After the man with arm and rifle had taken that diamond, he killed the one who tried to hide that diamond. That is something like, they were warned not to hide diamonds, but they were tempted because they wanted also. The Israelites were precious possession of God. He blessed those who obeyed him, but punished those who disregard him. As children of God, we should be sensible. We should be wise to follow the commands of the Lord. He blesses obedience. Take note of that. Remember that, internalize it. Ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith to truly internalize your word. Don't just ask for blessing. Blessing would come. When the Lord said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things, he did not say, seek all those things, and you will seek God's kingdom in this righteousness. No, those things that we need will follow because they are encoded in obeying the Lord. Allowing the Lord to reign in our heart, blessings would follow. Sometimes we think that blessings, I need this, I need that. But we do not know that those things that we crave are the ones who would cause us to forget God. Now, for example, if you are asking, Lord, I pray for airplane. Of course, you need the airport. I'm praying for airplane. What would you do with your airplane? I would like to fly. And God give you that airplane. It's Sunday. Oh, no, I need to fly first before going to church. You know what? Personally, I dream of having my own boat, fishing boat. But I was thinking, that is the crazy me. If God would grant it, I would be crazy. So it's just my personal human nature or human instinct, human sinfulness, to crave for those things because I want to go fishing. But how would I do my responsibility if I go on fishing? Can I go fishing and prepare for sermon? I don't know. But those are the things. Even the pastors have those material craving. And I pray. Yes, you pray for me. I am also inclined to those things. Ask that the Lord would continue to enable me, empower me to be diligent and faithful to his calling. As children of God, we should be sensible. We should be wise to follow His commands. And He blesses obedience. In that, the Lord is our top priority. You have priorities in life, but the Lord should be the top. Number one in everything, ask the Lord. Other important things cannot be our top priority. This should not be. They cannot be our top priority and expect blessing from God. Let's read again our passage in verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord in the cup of demons too. You cannot have part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. What is the cup of the Lord? The cup we drink during Lord's Supper. What is the cup of demons? The festival made in honor of idols or demons. In German, genuine Christians cannot participate in the Lord's Supper and participate in also in festivals made to honor idols or demons. During celebration of the Lord's Supper, it reminds us of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. What else? We are also reminded of our mandate to proclaim the death of Christ until He comes. Idols and demons did not die for the forgiveness of our sins. Actually, they entice us to turn our back and rebel against God, our Creator, who gave life. It is impossible for genuine Christian to be part both of God and demons. We cannot be. We cannot be part of God and simultaneously be part of demons. We must resist demonic practices for us to be faithful to God. How? Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to increase your faith. Lord, help me resist demonic practices. But we cannot be faithful to the Lord either if we do not give up demonic practices. So how can we resist devil for us to be devoted to the Lord faithfully? It admonishes us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. Let's read together. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do not be foolish. Do not be unwise, but wise. Live as unwise. How? How can we live as unwise? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we speak. We sing praises. We give thanks. So if there's confusion in your heart, something like anxiousness or worry, how do you praise God? You cannot praise God but complain. So if there's complaining in the heart, ask immediately to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that complaining and grumbling and anxiousness in your heart will be filled with thanksgiving and praise instead. Christians are children of God. We are God's children. We should be filled with His Holy Spirit frequently. Now, you heard the phrase, like father, like son, right? And many children like to follow the footsteps of their father. If their father is a fisherman, his son may wish to go fishing. My father was a fisherman, and he taught me how to fish. If their father is a preacher, his son may soon become preacher. If their father is a drunkard, his son may become drunkard like his father. My father was a fisherman. I learned from him. My father was a carpenter. I learned from him. My father was a drunkard. I became drunkard like my father. My life as drunkard was very regrettable. I praise God that He enabled me to forget everything, the crazy things I did when I was a drunkard. I had no purpose in life. All I want at that time, just survive another day and that's it. Survive another day and that's it. Go to work in the afternoon, think of where would I drink again. And that's the life of a drunkard. But I practically proved the transformational power of Christ in my life when I prayed and asked. It's the Holy Spirit, I believe, that move our heart. Lord, please remove the craving for bad vices, my craving. If you are able to resurrect Christ from the dead, Lord, removing this craving is just very little things to you. That's how I pray. You can remove it. And one day, wow. I don't know how God did, but I know that I prayed for it and the Lord responded. Because He wants me to be clean. He granted my prayer. He helped me abide in Him. He transformed my life for betterment. I'm telling this because that's the purpose that the Lord gave me, to testify of the transformational work He did in my life. Drunkenness produces unpleasant consequences. If you have social media, you may have watched people posting drunk relatives or friends out there. And they are not very pleasant sight. In comparison, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it results to joyful gratitude of the heart, praising God. Lord, thank you. Every time I remember the transformation the Lord did in my life, I thank God. The way I dress, for example, is another. When I was back in the province, all I wear is my shorts and of course slippers, because of the fair weather in back in the province. When I go to sleep, that's all I have. In the morning, that's all I have, because my work was, I was making furnitures. They are my shop. It was my shop. So no one is watching me. I look back to that kind of life. Can smile, but praise God. It was life of no purpose. Let us reflect on Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Can you go back to verse 9, please? It says, the fruit of the light consists in all. How do you understand all? All goodness, all righteousness, all truth. How do you internalize all? Here is a challenge for everyone. Spend time. Try to not open your cell phone and computers for at least a few moments when you're alone. And reflect on your life. Ask yourself, what is my priority? What is your priority? Do you prioritize the Lord? Now, Worship leaders come to worship very early on Sundays. Does it practically prove that they prioritize the Lord? It's not very pleasant, right? If worship leaders do not come very early, well, that's a very good start of prioritizing the Lord. But pray for consistency. Pray for consistency. The Lord blesses faithful consistency. Do not be satisfied with one blessing. Be consistent and you have consistent blessing. And do not try to provoke the jealousy of God. Do not try to challenge the jealousy of God. Let's read verse 22 of our passage. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy, or are we stronger than He? Most probably, some attendees in the church of Corinth were still confused how they behave as Christians. Some of them were attended festivals of idols. And Apostle Paul challenged their intellectuality. He explained it is impossible to partake of the Lord's Supper and also partake in the 10 festivals dedicated to demons. God is jealous God. Did you know that God does not like any other God beside Him? It is proper to prioritize God if we truly believe that God is our Creator. Who created you? Do you believe that God created you? Then prioritize Him. If we claim that we believe God, we cannot deceive ourselves. Do not deceive yourselves. Attitude, behavior, choices practically show if God is our top priority or just not yet. If God is not yet your priority, then ask the Lord, help me, Lord. I want you to be my top priority. It's not on our effort that we can prioritize the Lord. Make sure you know that we cannot. Only by the Lord's grace that we can prioritize the Lord. King David testified in Psalm 84, verse 10 to 12, better is one day in your court than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor, honor, and no good things does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in You. That is the testimony of King David. How strong do you believe his testimony? King David was called a man after God's own heart. All David wanted was to obey the Lord. Of course, even if David was obedient to the Lord, he had also many practical mistakes that he did. But the Lord knows that David wanted to prioritize Him. We cannot be king because there is only one king, David, but the Lord would also bring blessing to those who prioritize Him. I've seen many dedicated believers, even in this church, who were blessed, not just practically, not just materially, but practically in many other things. Now it's summer. You like the sun? Feels good, right? It feels bright. But I hate to say, I don't like it. Because my head aches when it's sunny. My eyes hurts when it's sunny. But it's good. In most privileged Christians in Canada, every summer, travel for pleasure and leisure. Christians, I say, not Canadians, Christians in Canada travel for pleasure and leisure. Really, yes. Sadly, there are even Christian churches in Winnipeg that will close their building in summer because church attendees have traveled. Have you drove around in summer and saw churches that says closed, open and in September, closed between July to September? Have you seen that? I've seen it. Very sad, right? There's this older pastor. He had successful practical life. He had successful spiritual life. You would say he had did his best. He advised young pastors. His advice is take your vacation. That's very appealing advice, right? But what does the scripture teach about vacation, particularly for pastors? What have you read in the Bible? An advice, take your vacation. Read through the Bible, and when you find one, tell me, and that is when I will go for vacation. If you can find one, let me text me, send me the passage you read. Apostle Paul traveled to different cities, but he was busy planting churches. We traveled as family. We went to East Asia. We went to the opening of Disneyland in Hong Kong. The opening Disneyland in Hong Kong. We went to Southeast Asia. I went there, but for short-term mission, praying for the Lord to open hearts. You want to travel? Pray about that. Travel with mission. Travel with purpose, not just for leisure. Travel with purpose in your mind. Go for mission. It adds leisure too. There's no record if Apostle Paul had vacation for leisure. The Lord Jesus Christ, from time to time, went to solitary place and prayed just for a day, maybe, I don't know. But there's no record that he had extended vacation for a month. Jesus and his disciples went to this mountain for a month or so, and they had a vacation there and had leisure. I cannot read one. It is not also recorded if King David had the luxury. He can do everything he does. He can travel abroad. And there are presidents, prime ministers who travel abroad. And constituents are complaining, he is using the people's money, kindly. But King David had never gone abroad for pleasure. But certainly, he went abroad to war, go to war. That was the rule of a king, work of king at that time, in the time of King David. But certainly he testified that it is better for him to be in the temple courts than somewhere else. That is, that passage that the Lord, that King David testified, I meditated upon it and searched my heart. Is it really better to be in your court, Lord? How can I experience that? King David testified for that. And he had all the luxury he can. He can do whatever he wants. But what he said, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Internalize that. Have you ever sensed that if in your life, if attending worship service is better than going to Tim Hortons or somewhere else, or fishing or long driving? Have you ever had that experience? Have you sensed that? I need to go to worship. Today it's Sunday. I don't want to go to fishing yet. Maybe in the afternoon I go. If you have sensed it, that is you. You sense like attending worship service is better than being somewhere else, and actually prefer to attend worship service rather than being somewhere. You have reached that spiritual maturity of King David. You want to stay there? Continue to ask the Lord that you would faithfully experience it, diligently, consistently experience it. In the church of Corinth, there was division among them because many of them did not prioritize the Lord. Some of them said, I follow Apollos. Another said, I follow Cephas, or Peter. Another said, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Jesus Christ. They were divided. Apollos, Peter, Paul, any other leader, pastor did not die for us. Give Christ your priority, not to the pastor, not to the leader. We must prioritize Christ as our Lord and Savior because He created us, He gave us eternal life, and pray for inspiration of His Holy Spirit because we just cannot do it on our own. We cannot prioritize the Lord on our own. Now, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that Christ died for us. Christ died for us to be saved from eternal torture. What is our priority? Priority obligation as Christians. What is the priority of Christian? Our priority is to proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. That is our priority. So in everything we do, we have to be sure that our behavior, our attitude, our words should testify of the transformational work of Jesus Christ in our life. That is how we prioritize. Who cook your food for dinner in your home? Mothers, fathers, or you? Do you cook your food smiling? Who wash the dishes? Do you wash dishes smiling? Who mowed the lawn? Who plowed the snow in winter? Those things. If there's complaint, grumbling in our hearts, ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, again, a reminder, we practice open communion, meaning if you are not just yet, a member of this church, but you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to participate and take the bread and the cup. The bread reminds us of the body of Christ crucified on the cross, our sins. The Lord took our sins and crucified them with Jesus Christ on the cross. The cup represents the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. When Jesus shed His blood on the cross, the Lord washed away our sins in the past, present, and in the future so that we become perfect and flawless in the eyes of God. How strong do you believe that? Now, when your children ask, Dad, Ma, why can I not participate in the Lord's Supper? Now it's your turn, parents. Tell them, you have to believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. How? Ask the Lord for faith. How? Pray, ask God, give me faith to believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The scripture did not say how old, how young would anyone participate in the Lord's Supper. There's no requirement. Many children, as young as 3, 4, 5, they can understand. They do not need to explain everything, but ask them, did you understand that Christ died for your sin? Do you accept that? How? If you cannot explain, let's go to Pastor. Let's go to Kuya Dave. Let's ask him. He will explain. There are also those who come to church during Lord's Supper. Listen, this is true, even in this church. I cannot participate in the Lord's Supper. Why? Because I cannot give up my favorite sin yet. Do you believe that the Lord had taken your sin and crucified them on the cross? Yes. Then why is it? Why is it that you cannot remove that? You cannot turn your back to that sin? Because you are trying to do it on your own. Ask the Lord, Lord, this sin, I know it's sin, but take it away. When you say, I don't like to participate in the Lord's Supper, you are saying, I don't like to be part of Christ. I don't like to be child of God. Every one of us can commit sin anytime, anywhere, because we are still in this earth. Make no mistake using those exceptions that you say, it's not time for me to take the... When you say that, you are saying you did not believe in Jesus Christ. We celebrate because we want to be reminded we are open to transformation. Let's bow down our heads and let's ask the Lord for forgiveness.